And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Tuesday with plenty to get to over the next couple of hours. Coming up, what's more important, health or chemistry? Plus, Tim Tebow on his way back to the NFL. What could that mean for Trevor Lawrence? Which rookie quarterback will be the first to start in a playoff game? Plus, which teams in college football are we buying on this year, selling, or holding on right now? Get to our Tuesday Top 10 later on this afternoon. Why Major League Baseball could learn a lesson from the horses. Also, the NFL Draft continues to be a complete crapshoot. We got a couple of big rivalry games in state tonight in college baseball. Clemson and South Carolina finish out their series. And the Citadel and College of Charleston will duel once again tonight. We'll have that for you on The Zone this evening. More on that later on. And the head coach of the Charleston Battery will join us later on this afternoon as well as we get ready for their home opener on Friday. So much to do over the next couple of hours. And you could join the conversation throughout. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show. 843-608-9500. 1734. You can get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook, ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Or there, you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted at our show page, or take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online right there at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3, Joe's on the board as always. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, this most productive day of the week is off to a pretty good start. About you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, looking forward to a big night of college baseball.
That's right. Go Bulldogs.
Go Cougars.
The Citadel trying to snap a 16-game losing streak to the College of Charleston. It's been too long.
Yeah, we have the Crosstown rivalry.
Yeah.
We have the Big Two rivalry. And also, there's a Big South Conference matchup between Charleston Southern and Presbyterian.
Oh, there you go. All sorts of in-state action tonight. We'll have the Citadel and College of Charleston for you tonight, 6 o'clock first pitch. Coverage will begin at 5:45 over on The Zone. So 94.7 FM, 910 AM. It will lead into Braves coverage. The Braves start a series with the Blue Jays. We'll have Citadel baseball prior leading into that. So that's going on tonight, 6 o'clock first pitch, if the weather holds up at least. I know there's some rain in the forecast later. We'll talk more about those games later on this afternoon with Clemson and the Gamecocks also battling tonight as well. But let me start with this. LeBron James is set to return tonight for the Lakers against the New York Knicks. What's more important for an NBA team, or really for any team, but for the purposes of this exercise, let's focus on the NBA. What's more important, health or chemistry? Think back to the Clippers a year ago. They had the stars. They seemed to have the talent. They had the coach, at least we thought, in Doc Rivers. But come playoff time, they didn't have the chemistry. They weren't overly healthy in the regular season, but they wanted to make sure their stars would be good to go for the postseason, sacrificing chemistry along the way for health. The Brooklyn Nets have done the same thing this year, where their three stars have played 7 games together all year. James Harden still has played more games with the Houston Rockets than he has with both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And there has been no team to win an NBA championship where their top 2 scorers, let alone 3, play fewer than 10 games together. The Lakers, in the other conference, on the other side of the league, though unintentionally, may be facing the same issue this year. Now, they did win a championship together last year. They have played together, at least, unlike the Big 3 in Brooklyn. But LeBron and Anthony Davis this season have only played 25 games together. You know, I think the Heat made the finals a year ago in large part because of team chemistry. They were not the best team, but maybe they played the best together. They handled the adversity the best in the bubble last year during a pandemic. Look at the Phoenix Suns and their turnaround. They didn't do a whole lot during the offseason. They were a terrible team, one of the worst in the league last year. And then they went to the bubble. They went undefeated in the bubble. And in the offseason, right, they bring in Chris Paul. They have a new coach running the show over the past, since going back to the bubble. And that was enough to turn the Suns around, where you bring in a veteran point guard, you bring in a new leader, and now they have the second best record in the NBA after being one of the worst teams in the league, not only last year, but for a number of years. And with this pandemic, especially last season with the bubble in Orlando, but still, the pandemic's still affecting the NBA, chemistry may have become more important lately than ever before. Because teams now have less practice time, you have less time together, you can't hang out together as much, you know, on the road. You still have to socially distance. Players are shuffling in and out because of COVID tests or a bunch of injuries this year because of the shortened offseason. The rotations keep changing. And the teams that can handle it are the ones that probably have the most success. The Boston Celtics have really struggled this year, and they have blamed injuries and a lack of chemistry because of COVID-19. They just haven't been able to get the same guys or the same guys on the same page, the same guys out there on the floor, and then have them all gel together this year. They've just been out of whack. A lot of teams have. You can go all the way back to the Lakers of 2004 when they had Shaq and they had Kobe and they brought in Karl Malone and Gary Payton and they had all sorts of talent. And they had already won some titles, at least with Shaq and Kobe. And you thought, oh, man, remember these four guys? Four Hall of Famers in that starting lineup. Phil Jackson coaching the team. They can't be stopped. But they couldn't make it work. They didn't actually go on and win. Meanwhile, the Spurs have been the model for NBA consistency during the Greg Popovich era, and they have done it by keeping most of their players around, by building on that chemistry. They don't have a ton of turnover. When the Spurs were at their best, right, they had Tim Duncan for 20 years. They had Tony Parker and Ginobili for a long time. They had their main core. Greg Popovich has been there forever. A lot of his assistants stuck around for a while before taking jobs elsewhere. They would build on that chemistry. They knew each other so well. They'd played together for years. And they were always, while they had stars, the names I just mentioned, eventually Kawhi Leonard as well, originally David Robinson, they had stars, but you looked at the Spurs, you always thought of them more as a team than a star-driven vehicle. More so than, you know, wherever LeBron plays, or even Kevin Durant, or even the Warriors. For the amount of talent that they had on that roster, we know they were still led by their stars, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, eventually Kevin Durant. Is chemistry more important than the star power, or the health of that star power? The Clippers would be prime example number one from a year ago, where they had the health, or I should say they had the stars. During the regular season, maybe didn't have the health, and then once they got the health back in the playoffs, didn't have the chemistry, and we believe that led to their undoing. But I don't think chemistry is more important than either having that star power or making sure that that star power is healthy come playoff time. If I'm the Nets, for example, I'm making sure I have my guys healthy and ready to go for the playoffs, even if they haven't played together a whole lot. On average, NBA teams will have 6.5 new players per team per season. Obviously, you can't have a half a player. Let's round up. 7. So essentially half of the roster. On average, nowadays in the NBA, each team in the league turns over half of their roster from one season to the next. We're seeing stars move around more freely than ever before, whether it's Paul George playing in three cities, Anthony Davis now, you know, moving to the Lakers, learning a new team. Kevin Durant has played for 3 different teams. Russell Westbrook has bounced around. James Harden on 3 different teams now. It's no longer the case that you have a Michael Jordan, a Magic Johnson, a Larry Bird where they stay with the same team. And when you go back and look at those great dynasties, the Bulls had some changes. From the Bulls' first 3 championships to the second 3 championships, they did have essentially different rosters. But you always had Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Phil Jackson, the core of that group. And when they won their first 3 championships, they had the same guys. Then when they won their last 3 championships, they had the same guys. When they went for that second three-peat and you had Harper and Rodman and Luke Longley and Tony Kukoc by then. And they remained consistent during that three-peat. Go back to the Celtics and the Lakers. Same idea. I mean, they had the same core of guys. The Celtics with McHale and Parrish and Bird and Danny Ainge, they had them throughout the 80s. Dennis Johnson, the Lakers with Worthy and Abdul-Jabbar and Magic and Michael Cooper. Even somebody like Kurt Rambis, they had the same guys. Kept winning those championships. That's not the case anymore. This past offseason was not normal because of the pandemic for the NBA. But if you go back to the offseason prior to last year, the last normal offseason we have had, nearly half the league changed teams during that offseason. So it's hard to develop chemistry. The only way you can do it is by playing with one another during the season, which is the concern for somebody like the Brooklyn Nets. They haven't even done that this year. But players are changing teams every year. You have to learn new teammates every year and then throughout the year. The league has become used to this. And if that's the case, if that's become the new norm in the NBA, I would rather take the talent, even if they have to learn on the fly. I imagine their talent is good enough to overcome any chemistry issues. I would try to compare it to some sort of supergroup in music. Or maybe more accurately, say a collection of talents that get on the stage for the first time. You know, maybe it's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You always see different musicians get together at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they'll play together. And they're not from the same band. It's just a bunch of great musicians. I always think back to it was after George Harrison passed away, and all these musicians at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame got up there to play While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And you had my personal favorite, Tom Petty, and you had Clapton, and you had Prince, and you had George Harrison's kid, and you had all these great talents on that stage together. The guy from ELO, he had all the great talents on there. And maybe they rehearsed beforehand, but rehearsals, much like practice in the NBA. And then when they actually got up there on stage to perform in front of everybody, that was the first time they were doing it for real. With the lights on, the TV cameras rolling, all right, this time counts. This is not a rehearsal. We need to nail this. We need to look sharp. We need to look tight as this band playing together for the first time. How many times have you gone out to see a concert? And maybe they bring a special guest on stage, or the opening act, they bring them back out. And sure, maybe they've rehearsed, but they're not playing together very often. And music is a very coordinated thing. Right? You have to be a tight group. You have to be on the same page, have that same rhythm. Be together in the song, in unison, to know when to sing, when to come in. Or the guitar, you don't want to be out of whack, off rhythm. The guitar solo has to be perfectly timed. You have to be in rhythm with the other guitars on the track. And when you bring together those great talents, whether it's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or whether it's just in concert, you happen to see somebody. When I saw Billy Joel in concert, he brought out Brian Johnson from AC/DC. I don't know how often those two have ever played together, but they did pretty good that night. Right, I saw Pearl Jam live, and they brought out the singer from Band of Horses who opened for them that night. And he came out and he played a song or two with them. I don't know how often they've played together, but they pulled it off. It sounded fine. And I imagine it'd be the same for great athletes as well. When you put that much talent on a stage together, I trust they will figure it out. When you put that much talent on a basketball court together, even if they haven't played together a whole lot, I trust it won't take long for them to figure it out. It can be a lot of instincts. And these guys play the game so much, or they play their guitar so much, they're so good at what they do that they can figure it out as they go. You ever jam, right? Maybe you're just a casual musician. I've played instruments with friends before who are far superior than me. But you ever just jam with somebody, and it's like, oh, what do you want to play? And they're just, just mess around on the guitar. I'll catch up, or I'll come up with something. It's like, okay, and you start playing the only, riffs you know or chord progressions you know, and then they start joining in, and they play something, and it sounds pretty good, and you never play together. It's the first time you're playing guitars with your friend, or you have a friend who plays the drums. You go over to his house, you bring your guitar with you, you're just messing around, and you put together something that sounds pretty good. He picks up on your cues, right? He responds with something in turn that sounds just as musically, good or matching the music you're playing. It's much like these athletes as well. They'll pick up on your cues, on what you're doing out there. They're good enough. They're instinctual enough. They have that muscle memory. They've played with enough guys. They've played enough games. It's, oh, okay, that's what he likes. Or that's what he has to do. And even when there are issues, when there are struggles, you're good enough that you can figure it out simply just from the pure talent you have. Right? When there is an awkward moment on stage, all right, well, let me just go into this guitar solo and distract them all. Right, we were a little bit off there. That was a little bit awkward. Let me pick it up by turning it into this thing. You're good enough that you can overcome any of the missteps. I trust the talent will make up for lack of chemistry. It may not have for the Clippers a year ago, but they were also up 3-1 in the series, in the playoffs. I think there was a lot more at play there than simply just looking at that and saying, well, they didn't have enough chemistry. Chemistry was not a problem when they built the 3-1 lead. I don't know if that was their biggest issue in losing that series. It could have been the lack of a true leader. Kawhi Leonard is more of a silent leader. In the fourth quarter with the season on the line or in an elimination game or trying to put his team away, is Kawhi Leonard the best guy to step forward and lead you to that victory? Or when things are down, when you're slipping, when the pressure's on you in Game 7, As good of a player as Kawhi Leonard is he the best leader for that type of situation, to lift the team back up and lead you to a victory when things are tough? Is Doc Rivers the right head coach to do that as well? He's the he leads the NBA in NBA history. Doc Rivers holds the record for most series blown with 3-1 leads. All right, that's right up his alley. Is he the right guy to have in that situation? Chemistry is important. But if you had to choose one or the other, one over the other, I'm taking health. I'd rather make sure Durant and those guys are out there for the Lakers, LeBron and Anthony Davis, than rolling with my B team, even if they are the cleanest team ever. Even if they look like the 80s Celtics, where they get the ball up and down the floor without it ever hitting the floor, or without ever having to dribble. Three passes up the floor, they get a layup. Like, even if so, you watch them in practice and you think, wow, our second unit plays great together. They're so used to playing with one another all season long or in practice. Okay. But I don't care, because in the NBA, star players will beat good teams more often than not. And I'll take my chances. It's why you go out and you acquire a star. And you wonder, like, are they going to fit what we've built this year? You'll figure it out as you go. But you can never turn down talent. You can never turn down the opportunity to have more talent, even at the cost of chemistry. I think more finals have been affected by injuries than lack of chemistry. Just a few years ago, the Raptors won an NBA championship because of the injuries to the Warriors. The Pistons won the finals in 1989, in part because both Larry Bird was injured and the Magic Johnson were injured, the two best teams in the league. The Celtics beat the Lakers way back in 1965 when Elgin Baylor was injured. The 76ers beat the Lakers, their one championship in the 80s, when James Worthy was injured. The Spurs in 2003 when Dirk Nowitzki was injured. The Heat in 2012 when Derrick Rose for the number one seeded Bulls was injured. A few years ago, it wasn't the NBA championship, but it played a big role when Chris Paul got injured and the Rockets coughed up their series lead to the Warriors, and the Warriors went on to win the finals. More championships are influenced by health than I would imagine chemistry. And when it comes to this year's NBA playoffs and we look at two of the favorites in the league, in the Nets and the Lakers, and wonder, well, will they have enough chemistry? Will they figure things out as they go? Just as long as they're healthy and on the floor with LeBron James scheduled to return tonight, I think that's most important. I don't think you worry yourself so much about the chemistry, but instead just make sure you have your guys out there. And if you do, and if the Brooklyn Nets are able to put their three stars on the floor at the same time, I trust that they'll figure out the lack of chemistry as they go. I trust that their talent will be so good, they'll overcome any hurdles along the way and be good enough to beat the other teams that are lacking the talent compared to Brooklyn. I'll take my chances with the health of my stars over chemistry with lesser players. Coming up, how could Tim Tebow affect Trevor Lawrence? Tim Tebow is signing with Jacksonville to be a tight end. So you should imagine, well, that should help Trevor Lawrence. If it works out, Trevor Lawrence has another target to throw to. But how could Tim Tebow affect Trevor Lawrence, maybe in the negative, this year in Jacksonville? We'll get to that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Ring, ring, telephone ring. Somebody said, baby, what you doing? I've been wondering where you've been. Now and then, I think about you and me.
Coming up, looks like Tim Tebow is on his way to Jacksonville. Returning to the NFL. What could this mean for Trevor Lawrence? How could it affect him, positively or negatively? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. You want to talk about the inability to properly read a room? I just saw this headline online. Gwyneth Paltrow broke down and ate bread during quarantine. What was your lowest point? Gee, I don't know. When I talk to the many people who got furloughed or lost their jobs or lost loved ones or had to go to the hospital to deal with COVID. But, oh, my goodness, she ate some bread. She had to eat bread over the past 12 months. Poor thing. Hey, Tim Tebow signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. And immediately, everybody jumps to Colin Kaepernick. I don't understand this. We'll get to Tebow and his effect on Trevor Lawrence in just a moment. But I do have to touch on this. Right, everyone comes out of the woodwork. How come Colin Kaepernick wasn't signed? You want to sign Tim Tebow, but not Colin Kaepernick? It's such a silly take that we really shouldn't spend any time on it. But just in case you felt the same way, in case you had something similar to say yesterday, don't worry, because we're here to educate. These are not the same situations. Most notably, the fact that Tim Tebow signed for the league minimum to play tight end. Right, he's not coming in to try to play quarterback. No one's giving him a chance to try and play quarterback. He's trying to make it at another position. And I don't think he'll even make the team. If he does, I don't think he'll last the full season. If he does, I don't think he'll play a big role. Is Colin Kaepernick willing to do whatever it takes to get back into the league? Would he be willing to take league minimum? Because the last story we heard about Kaepernick's return or attempted return to football was the fact that the AAF and the XFL both reached out to him wanting Colin Kaepernick to come play for their league. And according to reports, he asked for $20 million guaranteed. Tim Tebow just signed for league minimum. No money is guaranteed. He could get cut tomorrow. They don't owe him anything. So there's a big difference. Is Colin Kaepernick willing to do that? Does he want to return to the NFL so bad that if a team, and this is a hypothetical because it's not going to happen anyways, but if a team was willing to bring him in at a different position for the league minimum with no guarantees, would he be willing to do that? Additionally, you may disagree with how the Kaepernick situation has been handled over the years or how he has been treated. I'm not looking to have that debate. But regardless of your feelings on the subject, Colin Kaepernick did sue the NFL. And whether you thought he was in the right or the wrong, just suing a company usually hurts your job prospects. Right? Imagine, how about you try this next week? Go out and sue a company. And then as you walk out of the courtroom afterwards, ask them for a job after the court case, after your lawsuit, and see how that goes over. See if they're dying to hire you as well. Tim Tebow has never caused any problems during his NFL career, not with the league. Meanwhile, the Ravens, they were going to sign Colin Kaepernick 4 years ago until his girlfriend called the Ravens owner a slave owner. That kind of put the kibosh on that. So what do you expect from the Ravens or other teams? When they wanted to bring in Colin Kaepernick, that was the response when they were trying to help him get back into the league. We haven't had an issue like that with Tim Tebow in the past. And lastly, we know how this works. In life, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. And Tebow obviously played college football for Urban Meyer, his coach now with Jacksonville. Urban Meyer recruited him. Urban Meyer has known Tim Tebow for 15 years. If Chris Ault ever gets hired as a head coach in the NFL, and he's now in his 70s, so don't count on that ever happening, but he was the one who coached and recruited Colin Kaepernick in college. If he ever gets a job as a head coach in the NFL, he may be interested in bringing in Colin Kaepernick as well to come run his offense. He was the one that really made the pistol a big component of playbooks, doing so at Nevada and having Colin Kaepernick run that offense. And if he ever got a chance in the NFL, maybe he thought, hey, I know the perfect quarterback to run my offense, Colin Kaepernick. Let's bring him in. But Chris Ault has not been hired by the NFL. Urban was, and he seems to be the only coach in the league willing to give Tim Tebow a shot. And you can understand why. Because again, it's not what you know, but who you know. He recruited him. He's known him for 15 years. Now he gets a job in the NFL, and he figures, hey, why not? Bring him in as a tight end. Let's see how it works. No other coaches would be willing to take that opportunity, much like other coaches that don't know Colin Kaepernick personally, probably aren't willing to take advantage or, you know, try that opportunity. Take a chance by bringing him in. So when Tebow, when we heard the news yesterday of Tebow, everybody immediately, right, got on the little Twitter machines and said, oh, Tim Tebow, what about Colin Kaepernick? It's apples to oranges. Let's not dumb down the conversation by trying to make that comparison, because it's not even close.
Well, also with Tebow, he can not only have a target for Lawrence, he could also be a mentor to Lawrence.
Yes, and that's the hope. That's why Urban Meyer is bringing him in. Right, first-time NFL head coach. He wants to build a culture there, so he's bringing in a Tim Tebow. Now, how could this affect Trevor Lawrence? You would think positively if things work out. Tim Tebow has only had one pass thrown his way in the NFL. It hit him in the face mask. That was when he was with the Jets. It didn't go very well. Hopefully, he's better prepared this time around. I'm not sure he even makes the team. But it is good to have him in that locker room if you believe he is a good leader that can help improve that culture. Now, I think Trevor Lawrence has a good head on his shoulders. I don't think he's insecure in his job status or abilities or skills. Nothing like that. He doesn't seem to be some sort of emotionally unhinged type of quarterback. He seems to be very laid back, easygoing, doesn't look to get stressed out too often, won a national championship as a freshman, right? The stage never looked too big for him. Doesn't look like he gets worried over things like this. But let's just say Trevor Lawrence comes out of the gate struggling this year as a rookie. And there's a lot of pressure on him to begin with, being the number one pick, this generational talent, being sold as like the savior to the Jaguars organization. But he is a rookie. So let's say he does get off to a slow start. He may not come out week one and look like a Pro Bowl quarterback. Maybe he gets off to a slow start. And let's say Tim Tebow makes the opening day roster, makes the roster out of camp. He's on the roster week one. Do people in the area start clamoring for Tim Tebow to get a chance at quarterback if Trevor Lawrence gets off to a slow start. And it sounds ridiculous. And you wonder, how could somebody ever think even think of such a thing? But think of where they're playing, right? It's Florida, where you have Urban Meyer running the team, and you have Tim Tebow on the roster. Florida fans will be having flashbacks to winning national titles 15 years ago. They love Tim Tebow around there. He's one of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time, and he may be the fan favorite, the number one fan favorite amongst Florida fans, especially Florida fans of the past, say, 20 years. I've heard many Florida fans talk about how much they love Tebow, how he could work in the NFL, how he wasn't given a fair shake. These ridiculous comments you hear from Florida fans because of their love for Tim Tebow. Plus, you throw in the fact that he's a very faithful person. So he has that audience as well. Those who are into their faith that adore Tim Tebow as well. He has a bit of a rabid fan base. It's almost like a cult following, the people that adore Tim Tebow. Look, I saw it. I worked in minor league baseball when Tim Tebow was playing in minor league baseball. And maybe you went to go see him while he was playing here in South Carolina. But I dealt with it. I know somebody, I was in Binghamton, the Mets AA organization, and then I left, and the next year Tim Tebow played for that team in the AA organization. So I still knew all the people in that organization running the show and hear the crazy stories about how wild it was, with the amount of media that came to cover him, with the amount of fans that were coming out to see him, with the amount of interviews he had to do, with all the autograph requests, everything. People love Tim Tebow for one reason or another. And on top of it all, where is he from? Well, he was born in like the Philippines, but where was he raised? Where did he go to high school? In Jacksonville. Now he's going to be playing in Jacksonville. They love him in Florida, especially in Jacksonville. And to Tim Tebow's credit, because he seems like a great guy, he does also seem to love attention. He was the only backup quarterback when he was in the league. Only backup quarterback in the league that would do press conferences. How often would a backup quarterback get up there and talk to the media during the week or after games? Nobody would care, but Tim Tebow would. And that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in the organizations he was with. Because it's like, he's a backup. What is he talking to the media for? He's not the star. He's not even a starter. And you know, it looks kind of bad towards the starting quarterback when the backup gets up there and is talking about the team. It's like, you didn't even play today. How are you going to stand up there and talk about the team's performance? Let the starting quarterback do it. He can be a bit of a distraction in that sense. He brings a lot of attention to himself instead of maybe the other quarterback in the room or on the roster or the rest of the team. And here, he won't even be trying to play quarterback. But if he's on the roster and Trevor Lawrence gets off to a slow start, with how crazy Tebow fans are, especially in that state, I think there could be some clamoring in September, as soon as September, of, hey, let's try Tim Tebow at the quarterback position. Also, he is with his former head coach. If you're starting a relationship with somebody, as Trevor Lawrence is with Urban Meyer, when you first get into a relationship with someone, you may not like them bringing around their old flame. Right, when you start dating somebody and they bring around, hey, this is Jimmy. We used to date a few years ago. It's like, I don't know if I like that. We don't really know each other too well. We're still trying to get this relationship going. You're already bringing around somebody that used to be in my position. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is insecure in that sense. Other quarterbacks are. We're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers right now, where he takes it personally when they draft another quarterback. Tom Brady was very offended. Russell Wilson, they didn't bring in another quarterback, but he was unhappy. He was concerned. Joe Montana, way back when, was very unhappy when they brought in Steve Young. And for Trevor Lawrence, he's a rookie. He hasn't done anything in the NFL. Tim Tebow's not even coming in to play quarterback. But it's like, he's getting back with his old coach, Urban Meyer, in Jacksonville, where he's from. A rookie quarterback taking over an organization, you already have to try to learn enough on the job and put the team on your shoulders, and your job is hard enough. I don't think Trevor Lawrence's job will ever truly be in jeopardy. I don't think he'll even sweat this. I don't think he's worried waking up today like, oh no, Tim Tebow's going to be on the roster. But I do think it just adds an additional pressure or storyline that a young quarterback trying to learn the ropes in the NFL may have to deal with. Because I'm sure at some point there'll be a portion, even if it's a small group of fans, even if it's a group of fans that have no idea what they're talking about, I'm sure there'll be some people calling for Tim Tebow to have a chance to play the quarterback position. As absurd as that is to think about. And it's just another thing that when you're bringing in a rookie quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, and he already has so much on his plate, trying to learn the NFL, trying to turn around this organization, you have a first-time head coach, the last thing you need to do is throw another log into the fire of let's bring in Tim Tebow and give his rabid fan base a reason to call out our quarterback. to demand that Tebow sees the field or gets back out there or tries his luck at the quarterback position if the Jaguars start 0-3. I just think it's an unnecessary move. And I don't know if the pros outweigh the cons of having him there, of what he could do for that locker room. Jeff Darlington was talking about this on ESPN, where he said, Tim Tebow, this isn't exactly the Tim Tebow that Urban Meyer grew used to 15 years ago in Gainesville. And some people in that Jacksonville organization, outside of Urban, aren't too pleased with this idea.
And when you cite the resume, when you talk about all these things, it sounds pretty wild. And that certainly is the mindset of those in the Jaguars building. Not everybody, obviously Urban Meyer pulling is the one behind all of this, but not everybody in the Jaguars building is thrilled with this. They don't think that it necessarily sends the proper message to the rest of the team in the locker room and the guys trying to make this team. Urban Meyer, though, quite the opposite, thinks that this can be a cultural jolt within the locker room to kind of send the message that Urban wants. Now, I covered Tebow pretty extensively back in 2011, basically lived in Denver throughout that whole experience. And what I can tell you is that Tebow's leadership might be a little bit different in the NFL than what it was in college when Urban Meyer remembered him. So when I talk to coaches and players in the NFL, they do look at this and say, if you're looking for somebody to change culture, it's not necessarily a guy like Tebow, especially at this point in his career. So there's definitely some differences of opinions within Jacksonville. But hey, Urban Meyer runs the show now, so he'll get the chance to show that Tebow does deserve the chance in the NFL, something obviously other people don't necessarily think he does.
Jeff Darlington on ESPN. Yeah, I could see it rubbing some people the wrong way because they probably feel like it's undeserving. They're grinding for a roster spot. They're working hard and like, oh, here comes Tim Tebow getting another opportunity. But you can understand why with the connection to Urban Meyer. And the fear would be, depending on how things start in Jacksonville, there's a portion of football fans, especially in that area of the country, that love Tim Tebow. And if he is on the roster and Trevor Lawrence is a rookie quarterback on a bad team, gets off to a slow start, this is just another thing he may have to worry about. People calling for Tim Tebow to be given a chance. People believing that Tim Tebow is always the solution, the savior, right? That he could come in and solve things at the quarterback spot. We'll see how things play out. I don't think Tim Tebow even makes the team out of camp. With the connection to Urban Meyer, yeah, I also wouldn't be surprised if he does. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Rob is with us. Rob, what's going on? How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing well. What's up?
I don't see how this is anything other than a publicity stunt to sell season tickets and drive excitement around the Jaguars. I mean, the guy's 34 years old. He's been out of football for 8 years. Talking about the NFL, not arena football. There's people that work their entire lives, don't take a year off, and still can't hang on in the league. I don't really understand it completely. I mean, I wouldn't waste one brain cell thinking about what this does to Trevor Lawrence. I don't even think Tebow's, he might make the team, maybe. I don't see it. I just think it's a publicity stunt.
Yeah, it could be, and I appreciate the call, Rob. It could be very much that. I think it's also the idea mostly is about the culture of the team, not so much the roster or trying to win football games for the team. I think the bigger concern is trying to build up or improve on that locker room and doing so by bringing in Tim Tebow. Could be a bit of a publicity stunt as well, whether it's for training camp, for ticket sales. I mean, again, he is from that area. People will come out and watch the Jaguars, especially in training camp, if they're allowed to, and in Florida they will be. They'll go out and see them just because Tebow's there, just to get a chance to see him back in a football uniform. So it could be a lot of that. It may not be necessarily a football decision on the field. And it's why I also think he won't even make the team. But if Tim Tebow does pull this off, if he does play this year and he plays any sort of role for the Jaguars, I think it will be the most impressive thing Tim Tebow has done. More impressive than his great college career. Tim Tebow is not a good NFL quarterback, we know that. But he's one of the greatest college football quarterbacks we've seen. And was incredibly successful. But if he comes out of minor league baseball, gets back in the NFL for the first time, playing in a game for the first time in 9 years, and does so as a tight end, and actually plays a role this year, where it's not just putting him out there, you know, like playing like a little league, you have to get all the kids on the field. If he actually plays and plays a role and looks like he belongs, he is serviceable as an NFL tight end, I think that would be the most remarkable thing he's done in his career. More so than making it to AAA in baseball, more so than the success at Florida, to do it as he will be 34 at the start of the season, having not played in the NFL for 9 years and coming back at a different position, That would be truly something. I don't think he even makes the team, though. 843-721-9500. Back to the phones. Errol is with us. Errol, what's going on? How are you?
All right, Luke. I wholeheartedly agree with Rob. It's a novelty act. It's a circus act. If Jamarcus Russell is one of the most hated busts of all time, Tim Tebow is hands down the greatest beloved bust quarterback first rounder of all time. And I don't understand why now. They had wanted Tebow to play tight end years ago. He should have tried it now. To come out there at 34 with a nine-year layoff, you know, I hope he don't get hurt, because 34 isn't 24. And I'm 48, and I know 48 isn't 28 or 38, man. Good luck to him. Good luck to him. But I think it's a money grab, because, like you said, Duval County, they loved him down there. But I think it's about selling seats. Remember, the Jaguar Stadiums a couple of years ago had a pool in it just to try to get people to go there, and it was giving out free beer. So at the end of the day, you got to sell tickets, and people will do that. Thanks, Luke.
I appreciate it as always, Errol. Yeah, certainly. He will in that area, and the Jaguars are the number one team that could use that assistance. Yeah, he was always so stubborn, right? He always thought, I am an NFL quarterback. Teams gave him a shot. The Patriots, the Eagles, the Jets, they wanted to try him at tight end. He's like, no, I'm going to be a quarterback. And we knew, everybody knew except Tim Tebow, no, you're not an NFL quarterback. You can't do it. Even though you won that playoff game against the Steelers. But maybe it's the connection now to Urban Meyer. Maybe it's that this is truly his last chance. It's been 9 years that he's now willing to give it a try at the tight end position. But this is what teams are trying to do when he was originally in the league. Because they said, yeah, this, you know, anybody, you sitting at home watching could see, like, oh, this is not, he's not an NFL quarterback. And it kills me. As a Minnesota Vikings fan, I remember when Tim Tebow, his 1 year as a starter with the Broncos, and he did pull off a ton of great comebacks. It was remarkable. It's like, how is this guy winning games? I mean, he won a playoff game. And, of course, it was on a little 10-yard slant that Demaryius Thomas took to the house in overtime against the Steelers. But against the Vikings, and the Vikings were terrible that year. But I'm of course, a Minnesota Vikings fan, and I'd have to go look up the exact score, but he was down something like 17 points in the second half, something crazy like that. They scored like 30 points in the fourth quarter, the Broncos did, came back to win, and it was unbelievable. I was like, this guy does it every week. He finds ways to win with 100 passing yards somehow. And he did pull off a lot of comebacks that year. In fact, his like very first start, they were down 16, I think it was like the Chargers, and he came back. It's just what he did. But we know he's not an NFL quarterback. Now he'll be trying his luck at the tight end position with old friend Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, if he can even make it to week one. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones. Ricardo is with us. Ricardo, what's going on? How are you?
Yeah, how you doing, Luke? Everything's good. I tell you what, if Cam Newton hadn't stolen that computer and threw it out the window, Tim Tebow might not have had the success he had at the University of Florida. You know what I mean? Cam Newton was under him, I think, or at the same time. But anyway, this is just a PR stunt and trying to get some money, because I think they drafted a fifth-round pick at Ohio State for a tight end. But I don't think he'd do it at this age. He's a good athlete, but I just don't think he can do it.
You got to put your pen number in. Come on.
I don't know my pen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ricardo. I don't know what was going on there in the background. We could have listened in for the pin. We could have gotten ourselves some free money. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's a great athlete, but I don't think Tebow is he stands a better chance lasting in the NFL at tight end than he does quarterback. But I don't think that he is a solution at your tight end problems either if you are the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, yes, Cam Newton was there, right? Originally it was Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, and then and they went on to win the national championship. And then Leak left, and Cam Newton was there. Tim Tebow was already the starting quarterback with Cam. I don't think Tim Tebow would have given up his starting job, but you never know if Cam remained there, if he would have ever beaten out Tim Tebow. Otherwise, he probably would have taken over afterwards. They overlapped for, I think it was 2 years, and Tebow was the starter, and then Cam had his issues, and he went elsewhere, originally winding up at Auburn. Yeah, he was there at Florida for 2 years. So I don't know if he would have beaten out Tim Tebow at that point, because Tebow was having a great college career. Coming up, when we come back, speaking of Trevor Lawrence, not Tim Tebow, but Trevor Lawrence, the actual quarterback on that roster in Jacksonville. When we come back, which of the first-round rookie quarterbacks will be the first to start in a playoff game? It's the Mar Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, which of the rookie quarterbacks could be the first to make it into the playoffs, to actually start a playoff game? We'll get to that here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Been talking about Tim Tebow today. I just reached out to a former NFL tight end who played at Florida, though, before Tim Tebow. We'll see if we can get him on the show tomorrow to provide his insight into this situation. A listener reached out and said, hey, you know, the Saints used Taysom Hill, college quarterback, used him as a hybrid between a tight end, a quarterback. Now he may take over again as quarterback for the Saints. And so that would be another thing you'd point to if you wanted to go back to the Tebow-Kaepernick comparison, that we've seen this before, that it worked in New Orleans. And we know all these sports are a copycat league. You see it work somewhere and you think, oh, maybe we could do that. And Urban must think, hey, I got the perfect guy. Right, Tim Tebow, let's bring him in. But you've seen it have success in New Orleans with Taysom Hill. Why not try it with somebody else? And in the case of Urban and the Jaguars, right, number one on their list of potential targets would be a Tim Tebow. Not a lot of guys are willing to make that move because we can all be stubborn or prideful or just confident in our abilities. And when you go to the NFL after playing quarterback in college and they say, hey, we want to make you a tight end, a lot of guys think, no, thanks. I am a quarterback. I'm good enough to be a quarterback. You don't like that. You don't like somebody telling you you're not good enough to do that thing you've been doing for all those years at a high level. But of the rookie quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round, which will be the first to start a playoff game? Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance. The question really becomes, what do you think will happen first? Will Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Justin Fields break into the starting lineup? Or will Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson make the playoffs? That would be the debate. Because we know Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson will start week one. But the other quarterbacks most likely will not. They may not have the opportunity to make the playoffs this year, to make a playoff start this year, because they'll be on the bench. So let's dissect them one by one. I would say Trey Lance stands the best chance to make a playoff start if we knew all these quarterbacks were playing this year. Right? He's taking over a team in the 49ers that were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They were banged up last year, hence their last place finish. Should be healthier this year, and there's plenty of talent there. Plus, you're playing for one of the best coaches for a young quarterback in the league, in Kyle Shanahan, who runs an offense similar to what you are already doing at the college level. So I think Trey Lance is taking over the best situation, but I don't know if we will see him this year. You could say, well, Jimmy Garoppolo, right, is very injury prone. So the Niners may have a good team. Jimmy Garoppolo may be leading them back to the playoffs. Then who knows? Maybe he gets injured. At the end of the year, Trey Lance takes over or takes over just for the playoffs, and boom, there he is starting a playoff game. That could be the case. But I don't know if it's something for this scenario that you want to rely on. I don't know if we see Trey Lance, though, this season, barring an injury, because Jed York, we heard, say he would have no problem if Trey Lance sat for 2 years behind Jimmy Garoppolo. You still have Jimmy G. He just played in a Super Bowl, had a fourth-quarter lead for you 2 years ago. And we've heard Trey Lance be labeled as a project. I could see him becoming the franchise quarterback maybe next season in 2022, and they move on from Jimmy Garoppolo at that point. And maybe in 2022, he'll have a playoff start. I think in Chicago, Andy Dalton will begin the season as their starting quarterback. Matt Nagy was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City for Patrick Mahomes' rookie season when they sat him all year and then had Mahomes take over the following year. And I could see Nagy trying the same with Justin Fields this year. The Bears have Andy Dalton and Nick Foles on the roster as well. I do believe we will see Justin Fields at some point this season, though I wouldn't be surprised if Nagy would prefer to give him the entire year off. I don't trust Andy Dalton very much or Nick Foles. I think Justin Fields will be in there by the end of the year, but it's also in part because I don't think the Bears are a playoff team this year. if Andy Dalton's playing well enough that they're in the playoff race, they probably don't make that change. But I think they do because the season will be lost by Thanksgiving, and they figure, well, might as well get Justin Fields in there. Andy Dalton isn't playing well. You know, they backed into the playoffs last year with Mitch Trubisky, and you may wonder, how could they be any worse this year? But we know half of the playoff teams don't return to the postseason the following year. And I would imagine the Bears would be one of those teams that does not return. If you're looking at the playoff teams from this past year and trying to pick out the ones that won't be able to duplicate that success, the Bears are one that stand out. Meanwhile, the Patriots could be a playoff team this year, but will they be led by Mac Jones? We know they seem to like Cam Newton in New England, and he should be healthier this year coming off of surgery, right? A little bit more behind, a little bit further away from the surgeries he had. Plus, you would imagine, hopefully, he doesn't come down with COVID again this year and wouldn't have to deal with COVID restrictions as he tries to learn a new team and a new playbook. He wasn't playing all that bad until he had to sit out with COVID and then came back. He did not look like the same quarterback. So Cam Newton should be able to have a better season this year, year two, with that organization. But Mac Jones is supposed to be an advanced quarterback that is ready to go. And he did run a similar offense at Alabama. And he is more similar to the quarterback that Josh McDaniels won all sorts of Super Bowls with than Cam Newton is. I think Cam begins this season. Will we see Mac Jones at all this year? I'm not sure. Because we're asking about playoff starts. And if a team is good enough to make the playoffs, then are they going to be making a change to a rookie quarterback? I don't think so. And I think the three rookies beginning the season on the bench will be the ones I just mentioned. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. But what about the two quarterbacks who will be starting week one? Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Because that's what this question really becomes. Do you think that Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, given this head start, could make the playoffs prior to any of the other quarterbacks taking over as starters and leading their team to the playoffs? We'll continue to talk about this at the top of next hour. Which of the rookie quarterbacks will be the first to make a playoff start in their careers? Will it be Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville? Plus, I got some buys, some sells, or sales, I guess, and some teams to hold on when it comes to the college football season. Who are you buying? Who are you selling on? And who are you holding on right now to wait and see a little bit more? We'll do that with college football teams coming up next hour as well. Plus our Tuesday Top 10. We'll catch up with the head coach of the Charleston Battery a little bit later on as well. Plenty to do on a Tuesday. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.